Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily of those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line, Dr. Fred and Dr. Alice Altabani, and we're going to be talking about their recent book, The Modern Nutritional Diseases. Now, both of the have PhDs. They're experts in nutritional diseases. And like most Americans, they honestly believed everything the government was telling them about how we should eat and of course, how we should, frame the things that we eat and be concerned about your cholesterol and be concerned about the high-fat diet and how this is going to kill us if we don't get our cholesterol down and take the Lipitor and or take one of the other statin drugs. And then, of course, when one of them got the high cholesterol, they began looking into the background of what we're being told. And much to their surprise, they found out that most of what we're told about diet just isn't true. They wrote a wonderful article, which I read in the Medical Sentinel, published by the Journal by the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. And based upon that article, I gave them a call, asked them to come onto our program. Their book, The Modern Nutritional Diseases, Heart Disease, Stroke, Type 2 Diabetes, Obesity, and Cancer, and How to Prevent Them. Thank you so very much for being with us this afternoon.
Yes, we're happy to be with you. And Alice is here also. We're sharing one phone, so we may pass it back and forth as necessary.
All right, that's fine. And so, now, what have you actually found as you begin looking into what the American people have been told about, oh, how terrible fats are, and you eat fats, why, you're going to die, and you're going to die a heart attack and die of strokes, and this is going to give you arteriosclerosis, and that's why, of course, you want to get onto this, this high-carbohydrate diet. Why don't you pick up the story and tell us of your concerns about what the American people have been told that just isn't true?
Well, we retired, and as we said in the book, we had I had high cholesterol and high triglycerides, and we were concerned. And fortunately, our background, we had spent most of our working career as what you might call disease detectives in the health department, mostly working with toxic materials. Alice was a toxicologist, and I worked in the industrial health unit. And so we had the time, and fortunately we had a computer and we were able to go online and use the National Library of Medicine. So we began looking. We just simply began looking. What does so-and-so say about it? And I think probably the first book we ran into of use was one by Barry Sears. And I think it was called Entering the Zone or something like this. And it began to get our brain working. Here's a guy who's saying something different. And he's also using biochemistry, and he's documenting what he says. And so as we began to accumulate information, we found, of course, we needed a spare room, and we needed to pile a lot of books around. We bought a lot of books. Another book we found was Protein Power by Dr. and Mrs. Eads, Michael Eads, and his wife, another doctor, I think it was Mary Eads. And again, they were talking about a different diet than was coming from the food pyramid or from what you might hear from the Department of Agriculture or whatever was in the newspaper. And we did a lot of soul searching.
Hold that thought right there for just a moment.
Yes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. With us this afternoon on the line is Dr. Fred and Dr. Alice Ottoboni. They both have PhDs, but they have been, since they've retired from working for the government, they began to research nutrition. Now, you wonder how anybody could get very excited about nutrition. After all, what is nutrition? Three meals a day, bacon and eggs for breakfast, a hamburger for lunch, and a pizza for dinner. No, I'm being a little facetious.
Oh, no, that's very true.
But anyway, they have come up with a great deal of excellent information on diet, and they're challenging many of the things that we're being told about diet. So why don't you begin to review what you've actually found, and you begin collecting information, going to the library of medicine, looking at the scientific studies, not what we're told by government officials, but what do the scientific studies really tell us about nutrition, and why are people in other countries so much healthier than we are here?
Well, what we came to was what we read in the newspapers and heard on television was not the same as what we were reading in the scientific literature. They were just two different worlds. In those two different worlds, there were a number of books. Another excellent book was Dr. Atkins, who has been denigrated in the newspapers and by many people. But when you read his work, you find that he not only documented everything he said in that book, but he's a very caring, intelligent physician. So these are the kinds of dilemmas that we faced. We began to see this information, and we began to see everything else, and I'm sitting there with high triglycerides, and I'm saying, well, I got to make a decision here. Who do I believe? And it was difficult, but we changed our diet. We began learning and changing, and once we started changing, I immediately began to feel so much better that I knew I was doing something right, and the triglycerides went down to way down to normal. My cholesterol went to normal. My fasting glucose went down where it belonged, and I began to feel better. And I feel better today, and I'm within a year of 80 years old than I did when I started this process when I was in maybe 65.
Well, of course, the thing is that everybody points to the Atkins diet and said, well, that's a high-fat diet. Fats are going to kill you. You've got to get away from all those fats. You've got to take these non-saturated fats. You've got to quit eating butter. You've got to have all these non-saturated fats, and then you've got to take your Lipitor, and you've got to take your statin drugs to poison the liver so we can get your cholesterol down, or you're going to die. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Dr. Fred Ottoboni and Alice Ottoboni. They both have PhDs. They've been analyzing diet, and who are we talking to now?
You're talking to Fred, but you can have Alice. You want to talk with Alice for a minute?
All right, fine.
We're going to move into an area that she can talk about very easily.
All right, Alice, why don't you come on the line?
Hi, Dr. Stan.
It's good to have you with us.
Oh, thank you.
What have you learned about the high-fat diet, which we're told is terrible? We're told that Dr. Atkins has done a terrible thing, that a lot of people are going to die because they believe Dr. Atkins and had a high-fat diet.
Well, we've learned that we've done a lot of work or study reading on the saturated fats. Are they the demons that they claim to be? And even the proponents of the low-fat diet, Dr. Willett and so forth, the group from Harvard, the Harvard Nutrition Group, even they say that the data that's quoted in our paper do not support the strong association between intake of saturated fat and risk of coronary heart disease. They say this, and yet these people still say don't eat saturated fat.
Well, now, could you explain to our listeners what the saturated fats are and what the unsaturated fats are? Because most people are not as acquainted with those things as you and Fred are.
Very important. Saturated fats are what they sound like. They have all of the hydrogen in their molecules that it can hold. And unsaturated fats, polyunsaturated fats, have spaces between some carbons that don't have enough hydrogen, and this is critical for the health of your body to have these molecules that have unsaturation in them. The essential fatty acids are essential for life. And this is one of the problems that we feel with the low-fat diet that is proposed, is that the low-fat is denying the body of the essential fatty acids that are required for good health and for life.
Now, where do we get the essential fatty acids?
This is very important, too. There are two families of essential fatty acids. One is called omega-6, and the other is called omega-3. And these have become popularized sufficiently well that they know omega-3, they know omega-6. Omega-6 are, in general, considered the bad essential fatty acids, and the omega-3 are the good ones. And that's really an oversimplification, because they're needed in balance. And the sixes are bad if they're not balanced by the omega-3.
Now, where would we get the omega-3?
Omega-3 are basically in animal fats, and they're in a good balance in animal fats, and they're in fish.
Fish.
Very small amounts in vegetables. Vegetables are way overbalanced in omega-6. And this is one of the problems with the food pyramid, because it stresses vegetable fats, vegetable oils, seed oils, and so forth. We're very heavy in omega-6 and very shy in omega-3.
Well, no, we're told we really shouldn't be eating animal fats, and we shouldn't eat that. What about butter? What about cheese? Things like that.
These are all excellent sources of all of the fats, the whole array of fats, the saturated and the unsaturated. They have small amounts of the essential fatty acids, but they're in good balance.
But won't this raise our cholesterol? I mean, we're told, oh, my goodness, if your cholesterol is over 200. Now, it used to be over 230 until the drug companies began directing the course of medicine and told everybody we had to get it down to 200 and then 175. And, gee, maybe we can even get it down to 150 and sell a lot more medicines. But what's the real truth about what we're being told?
Well,
they've got 20 million people taking statin drugs. And, you know, there are complications for statin drugs.
Oh, very definitely. Very serious complications, but the data on saturated fats raising cholesterol is based on very bad epidemiology. They didn't take into account the carbohydrate content of the diets. And as far as the cholesterol content in the diet, and the cholesterol comes only from animal fats, but this cholesterol, the body is a very, very saving and efficient mechanism. And if it is offered something in the diet, it will not make it itself. Now, normally the body makes all of the cholesterol it needs. When it gets cholesterol in the diet, it says, wow, you know, here it is, I don't have to make it. So cholesterol in the diet does not increase cholesterol in the blood. And so this is one of the things we don't understand, is why there is so much, so many recommendations about eating cholesterol. If you eat cholesterol, your body just will accept it and use it, and not make any more itself. The problem is that the high carbohydrates in the diet force the body to make more cholesterol than it requires.
Now, by carbohydrates, you're talking about sugar. You're talking about the complex carbohydrates that's in so many of the things that we eat.
All of the carbohydrates.
All right.
All of the carbohydrates, the sugars, and the refined carbohydrates, or the blind calories, the breads and the pastas and so forth. These they raise the insulin much more than the other carbohydrates, but all the carbohydrates do. In fact, I'm going to turn you over to Fred now, because Fred has really been studying the cholesterol problem. So, if I may turn him over now,
you certainly may. Well, you know, we don't have any sort of a format here. We just sort of get on and talk. Fred, you're looking into cholesterol, and of course, we're told we've got to get this cholesterol down. Now, when I practiced medicine, 230 was, up to 230 was a normal cholesterol, and now they tell me, oh, gee, at 230, why, that's terrible, you know, you're going to die if you don't get that down at least to 200.
This is a really most interesting problem. Let's start a little bit first on this word, the 230 and the 110 or whatever they feel is right. If you look at the scientific papers, you find, number one, cholesterol levels are not related to risk of heart disease. Approximately the same amount of people who have low cholesterol as have high cholesterol get heart disease.
Well, that's not what our doctors tell us. And I'm not criticizing the doctors, because all they know is what the drug people tell them, or what they read in the journals, which are financed by the drug companies, what they hear at meetings, which are financed by the drug companies, and, of course, what the government tells them, which are financed by the drug company.
Yes. Well, then, so the problem is that as people get older, their cholesterol levels go up. So after you're 65 or so, your cholesterol levels at 250 or so, from what we can read, are quite normal, and they're likely to go up beyond that as you get older. Cholesterol is a strong, as far as we can see, cholesterol is a symptom of eating too much sugar and starch. And if you reduce that symptom by taking a cholesterol pill, you don't undo the underlying cause. You simply stop a symptom. It's like having a sore finger and cutting it off. It doesn't do any good to what caused the sore finger in the first place. So here's the cholesterol now has been pushed for years, and we have a huge amount of support, sales of cholesterol-lowering drugs. Namely, the statins are the largest, most profitable drugs in the history of the world.
And, of course, they've done everything they could to convince the doctors that if you're not prescribing statin drugs for your patients, you really are doing them a terrible disservice. And yet, as you've studied the scientific literature, is that verified by the real scientific studies?
No, they're not. It's not verified. What the real scientific studies say is that cholesterol is a co-symptom of eating too much sugar and too much starch, and that co-symptom, as time goes by, your body continues to be inflamed by this, and the inflammation is the process by which you wind up getting clogged arteries, and eventually those clogs break loose and plug an artery, and you get a heart attack. It's an inflammatory process. It's caused by continually high insulin levels.
All right. Now, how then can you control the high insulin? How do you modify your carbohydrate intake, so you don't get into this problem?
Well, we've been living this now for quite a while, trying it out and seeing what happens. And how you do it is you have to understand first, look at the human's primitive diet. There was no sugar, no starch, no grain. Primitive diets were meat, eggs, fish, insects, a few greens, a few berries, whatever they could find, lizards, rabbits, etc. That's what we were built to eat. So it's very easy to mimic this diet at home. Every day, every meal, you have 30% of your carbohydrates as protein. You need protein. This is something that's short in the American diet. So you need protein calories. 30% of your calories should be protein.
All right, now where are we going to get those proteins? In what form are we going to get them?
You're going to get them from meat, chicken, fish, eggs, cheese. That's milk, dairy, full-fat dairy. Low-fat dairy is high glycemic. High glycemic means it makes your insulin bounce up. And high insulin is the problem.
Now you're talking about you should not be then drinking skim milk?
No, not in our opinion at all. Skim milk just results in the same as drinking sugar water. But milk is balanced when it's got its normal fat in it. That damps the ability of your body to quickly absorb the lactose that's in the milk. The result is then that you don't get a jump in your insulin. Your insulin levels stay low and smooth. And so our diet then excludes any kind of skim milk or low-fat milk. We eat full-fat milk. We put cream in our coffee. We use lard to cook with. We eat steaks. We are not afraid of butter. We eat a lot of butter because your body needs about 30% of calories in good fats. And good fats are basically defined as animal fats, despite the fact that the government is telling you don't eat animal fats, don't eat steak. We can't see any reason in the literature and the science that we should not eat these.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment with doctors Alice and Fred Ottoboni, and we're going to be talking about their book, The Modern Nutritional Diseases, tell you how to get it, and get more information that they've accumulated by their study. Is this one reason why there's so much disease today?
Are you on now?
Our four tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large, until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tierney. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs, in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Drs. Alice and Fred Ottobotti. And, of course, we're talking about nutrition. And this is a subject I think that everybody in our audience really needs to heed and realize that a lot of what that we're being told by the officials is not necessarily healthy for us. Look and see what's happening to the incidence of cancer. It's exceeded the incidence of people dying of heart attack. Look what's happening to the skyrocketing rates of diabetes, type 2 diabetes. Certainly, we find that real problems with obesity, and so we do what the government tells us, and we seem to be getting worse and worse. Now, let's just let our listeners know where they can get copies of your book. And if they'd like, do you have a website that people can go to?
We don't have a website, but they can go to Amazon. It's on Amazon, It's at Barnes & Noble. And also the publisher has a special, which if you, they don't take credit cards, but if you send a check for $19.95 to Vincenti Books and P.O. Box 50704, Sparks, Nevada, 89435, and just send a check and make it out to Vincenti Books Incorporated, and you'll get a prepaid copy back, no postage cost or anything, just $19.95. That's the best bargain. But then you have to send a check. There's no other easy way to do it. But if you can use a credit card on Amazon or the other any other place.
All right, fine. Well, now let's talk a little bit about why do you think we're seeing so much cancer? Why is cancer on the rise all across America? Does it have any relationship to diet?
Yes, it does. Actually, the diet in this country has changed tremendously since 1900. We go through that in some detail in the book, but it's changed a lot. And then in recent years, with the Heart Healthy Diet program in the United States and the food pyramid and the other things that have happened, the diet has been intensified. It's been changed even further. So you want to talk about cancer. Our view of it is cancer is, much of the cancer is nutritionally caused. It's at the reason, probably there are two underlying reasons here. One is too much sugar and starch in the diet, which sets you up to manufacture what they call eicosanoids, body chemicals that control every cell in the body. But when you have too much insulin, it activates the wrong kinds of eicosanoids, and these eicosanoids can cause cancer. The second problem that leads to cancer is the lack of omega-3 in the diet, particularly what's in fish oil. EPA and DHA that are in fish oil are powerful cancer-preventing agents because they suppress the manufacture of these harmful eicosanoids. So if you look at diet and say what's causing it, it's the excess sugar and starch, and it's the tremendous amount of vegetable oils and fats that we use in our diet. We used none before 1900. Today, the average is 66 pounds per year per person of oils from you can name it, soybean, safflower, sunflower, cottonseed, corn, all of those oils and the margarines and partially hydrogenated materials made from those are all high in omega-6 fatty acids and essentially lacking in omega-3 fatty acids.
Would we be better off to eat butter than margarine?
Oh, by far, yes. We don't eat any margarine. We don't eat any vegetable oils. If you need oil, use olive oil.
All right, fine.
Or use lard. Lard is a very healthy fat. Or coconut oil. That's a healthy fat.
And, of course, we've been told, oh, coconut oil, that's just about the worst thing you can possibly have. So much of what we've been told, all we have to do is look and see what's happening to our society to realize that somebody is giving us wrong information. This is my major concern. And, of course, we're certainly cautioned about, you shouldn't take any vitamins at all. For years we were told vitamins are simply just a waste of your money. What you need is a well-balanced diet. How do you feel about vitamins?
We've gone through them from A to Z, and we think that vitamins are very important. Vitamins are sometimes lacking in our diet. And if you look around, you say, what vitamins are lacking? Well, right off, vitamin C is lacking. In fact, many older people in nursing homes, from what we've read in the scientific literature, have incipient scurvy. They have signs of scurvy. So your body cannot make vitamin C, and you need some every day. And if you don't have, there are just not enough good sources in the diet today. You should take vitamin C.
And they're really doing everything they can to discourage us. Now they're going to put the they're going to cut down the amount of vitamin C in the tablets. You want to get a decent sort of dose. Well, the government's there to help you. They're going to cut down the amount. You've got to take more pills. It's going to cost you more money.
This is a real shame because
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We're going to have to go to a break.
Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
And we'll be back in just a moment here with our special guest this afternoon. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest, of course, is Alice and Fred Ottoboni, both PhDs. We have Ed calling in from Aptos on the cell phone, and again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Ed, do you have a question?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I have a brief comment and a brief question. I heard lard is good for you, I agree, but most of the stuff you find is hydrogenated. There again, you're getting margarine, hydrogenated grease or oil, okay? And the question would be, could the cancer throughout the nation be caused by chlorine put in the water to treat the water? That's it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Well, what about the chlorination in the water?
The chlorination of the water, we did a lot of work on that in the... before we left the state health department. We did not feel that the levels in water would harm anyone, but that they did help protect teeth. Now, there's been 15 years since we left there. There may be new information. As far as fluoridation, was he talking about fluoridation?
No, he was talking about chlorination.
Same way with chlorine. We had lots of work with chlorine. And as far as we know, the trade-off, the minor risk is low levels of chlorine is offset tremendously by it's irreplaceable in terms of getting rid of bacteria in domestic water supply.
And it is a trade-off, but certainly without chlorinating the water, we would have so much water, disease, why we'd have to either distill our own water it just couldn't get by without chlorinated water.
Almost
at least here.
Destroy our civilization.
Right.
We couldn't have big cities without chlorinated water. On the lard, we agree with the caller. This is the first time we went to buy lard last week, And we looked at the label, and it's now hydrogenated. And so we used to buy it regularly, and this is the first time we cannot find non-hydrogenated lard.
Would you explain to our listeners what the hydrogenated is and how that differs from regular animal lard?
Well, animal lard has a mix of essential fatty acids that are part of the triglycerides in lard. It only has about 60% saturated fat, 40% are naturally balanced omega-3, omega-6 essential fatty acids. Now, but these will, in time, if you don't keep the lard properly, it will get rancid. And they like to keep it on a shelf where it gets hot instead of putting it in a refrigerator. And so hydrogenation just destroys all the double bonds, and you wind up with, you can put that out in the sun and the flies won't even eat it.
Maybe the flies are smarter than we are.
Pardon?
Maybe the flies are smarter than we are.
Yes, yes. So the problem of hydrogenated lard is a serious one. They have now doctored another healthy part of our fat supply to make it unhealthy.
Well, now, what about the people who are diabetic? I mean, how should they approach this whole situation? Because there's some people, you know, really do have severe type 2 diabetes. It influences their whole lives. They maybe have to be on insulin. And what sort of diet should they be on?
Well, we'll go through that. I want to say first that there are other good authors out there, the EADS, the people, it's a paperback, a book by Drs. EADS, E-A-D-E-S, Michael and Mary, is an excellent book. They've been practicing this business for a long time. They know how to reverse type 2 diabetes. Another good author.
What was the title of their book, and then how do you spell the name again?
It's called Protein Power.
Protein Power.
And another good one is called The Swarzbein Principle, Swarzbein, by Diana Swarzbein. She's a practicing endocrinologist in Santa Barbara and has specialized in essentially type 2 diabetes and written a book about how she deals with it. And she can reverse it. And the diet is essentially the same diet that that we've come to by reading the literature. Mainly, get rid of the sugar and starch, get rid of the vegetable oils and the shortening, go back to eating just a balanced diet, 30% with protein at every meal by calories, and 30% fat by calories at every meal, and much of that's going to be in the meat. And you take a little butter and a little lard and all, and you get enough. And then the rest, salad. Salad and fresh fruit. And the fresh fruit should not be bananas and tropical fruit. It should be things like apples and pears and berries, blueberries, and that are a little bit not too sweet, because you don't want too much sweet. It's not anything that we need in our diet.
How about oranges and things like that?
Orange is a borderline. We say to our friends, an orange should be a treat, not something you want to eat every day. Orange is nice for a treat once in a while, but an orange has too much sugar in it.
Well, how about nuts? How about peanuts? How about cashews? How about
almonds? All kinds of nuts and peanuts are fine, but remember, you need to count those as carbohydrates. They have good oils in them, and they have good protein in them. But when you begin to look at what your calorie count ought to be, you want to count them as carbohydrates. Well, that's fine, because you're going to eat a salad. You still got salad has very little carbohydrates, so you can throw a little every meal. You can eat some nuts. But what you find out is that, and this has to do with obesity, you switch to that balance and that kind of diet, and I weigh 160 pounds, and I can eat no more than 1,400 calories a day. This diet is self-limiting. You don't get hungry. You don't crave food, and you're not going to eat 2,000 calories a day. You can only eat that much when you eat sugar and starch, because it immediately goes to glucose in your blood. Your body has to keep the glucose level down, because if it gets too high, you die. And the only choice it has is to shoot it out and make fat. Make fat and deposit it somewhere. And cholesterol. Your body has no choice. You eat those materials, it raises your insulin to the point, or your glucose to the point where your body needs to deal with it, and it makes fat. And that's why you eat 2,000 calories a day, because it's not going for energy. It's going to make fat.
All right. Well, our telephone number is, of course, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we've got Rory calling from Louisiana. Hi, Rory. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan.
Hey, it's good to hear from you.
It's good to speak with you.
And for Rory's a physician, so go ahead, Rory. What's your thoughts?
I was going to, number one, these folks are 100% right, in my opinion. That's my thought.
Right.
My question.
Yeah,
question,
right.
Though.
Go. Well, we're pleased to hear that you agree.
Well, I had patients when I was in private practice that I could not control their cholesterol no matter how much medicine I threw at them. I put them on an Atkins diet. Neither one of these people were fat. Both of them worked hard. And they both had bad cholesterol. The Atkins diet fixed the problem.
Yes, right. I was surprised when I read the Atkins book because he has referenced it so well. I mean, there is nothing in there that he's just picked out of his hat.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And yeah, that's true. And I think we were while you were on the phone, we were talking about, and we didn't get a chance to talk to it. But another important thing in caring for a person who's at risk of heart disease is to make sure they get enough vitamin B6, B12, and folic acid to keep their homocysteine down.
All right.
And this homocysteine is a real troublemaker as far as heart disease, isn't it, and artery disease?
Yes, and the guy that wrote the book, Kilmer McCulley, called The Heart Revolution, he's a wonderful guy. We emailed back and forth. We got to know him. And he's an interesting story in that when he discovered the relation between blood homocysteine levels and heart disease, he was fired from Harvard. They said they didn't want that kind of research done.
And, of course, the latest thing is, heavens, they found out that sometimes if you have the C-reactive proteins, this is important, you know, as the cholesterol level. In other words, they've been telling us it's all cholesterol, and just within the last, month or so, they're suddenly coming out to say C-reactive protein, which is a reflection of inflammation in the body, is equally important to cholesterol, and all these people on Lipitor and the other statin drugs.
Yeah, well, it's sad. I hate to get involved with practice of medicine because I'm not a doctor myself, but we, in passing and doing our research, we can't help but run across, many papers where they talk about the epidemiology that went into those studies. Much of that epidemiology is faulty. They pre-selected their test groups and a number of things, but basically it's not a black and white, lower your cholesterol and your problems are over. You're a hell of a lot better to do a homocysteine test because the mechanism for heart disease is about as follows. First, you have to get hardening of the arteries called arteriosclerosis. And then the hardening of the arteries means that you have in there lesions and you have calcium deposits. These your body notices and decides it needs to smooth off that artery, so it deposits cholesterol in those rough spots to smooth the arteries out. If you do not have arteriosclerosis, doesn't matter how high your cholesterol goes, it won't deposit. And arteriosclerosis is caused by a vitamin deficiency, three vitamins. Because of the biochemistry, you need three vitamins, B6, B12, and folic acid.
How about C?
C is a separate issue. C is has many, many positive uses, one of which is to protect the fatty acids. The essential fatty acids that you take in fish oil or other things are extremely delicate, and the vitamin C will protect those double bonds. If you don't have the double bonds in them, if they're destroyed because they get oxidized in your stomach somewhere or in your body, they don't do you any good.
Roy, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Well, yes, I was wondering if they had an opinion on goat versus cow dairy products.
We have not taken on goat versus cows. We've read many good things about goat milk,
yes,
and
so
also many good things about cow's milk, as long as it's whole milk. And, of course, there are many people that we haven't gotten into the argument. Many people just feel like there's plenty of data to justify not homogenizing the milk, for example, because that may cause some damage to the fat molecules. But other than the homogenization of cow milk, We don't know anything wrong with that.
Okay.
Okay, thanks very much, Roy. Good to hear from you.
Thank you, Dr. Dan.
Bye-bye. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We had Troy calling from Virginia, but, of course, we lost him. So, anyway, if you're out there, we have time for one or two more calls. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, a doctor, you know, as you come up with your ideas, they fly in the face of everything we're being told. And I've always been very, very suspicious. In fact, they've only recently, just this past week or something, come up with a whole new food pyramid where they tell us that, you know, we should be eating fruits and vegetables and 8 ounces of grain and 5 ounces of fish and 3 cups of milk and six teaspoons of oil. And what do you think of all this?
Well, we think we've gone over it carefully, and we think the food guide pyramid is very little different from what it was in its earlier version.
Right.
What we've done is clean it up a little bit to make it look like it's different. For one, they substituted whole grain for processed grain, for like instead of refined flour, use whole grain flour. This is really no difference. It's just flour with a little grit in it when it's whole grain. It's still high glycemic. When you eat it, equivalent of, say, a tablespoon or a slice of bread or what have you, you get the same amount of starch, and it goes into your bloodstream just as fast. So that's one problem with it.
Well, I you know, the thing is that we spend I don't know how much on all the bureaucrats who go over all this, but they're not looking at a lot of the scientific work that's really out there. And I really fear that sometimes why the announcements from the government are influenced more by the outside pressures than sound science. Let's go to Ken, who's calling from Watsonville. Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
Hi. I can only eat, like, organic potatoes and maybe another food or two because I'm chemically ill.
Right.
And the situation is the glycemic diet condemns potatoes. How do you feel regarding that? In other words,
yeah,
glycemic diet.
Yes, it's true. All of the authors who talk about avoiding high glycemic index foods include potatoes. However, potatoes' glycemic index changes on whether you bash them, whether you cook them a long time. If you boil them and you don't boil them too much and you don't mash them and you don't chew them too hard, you lower your glycemic index quite a bit. And really, I can't really comment intelligently on a restricted diet because you have other medical issues that are clear outside of my view, but and my competence. But what I would say is that yes, potatoes are considered high glycemic.
Okay, anything else, Ken?
No, that'll be it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And there are so many people out there that have real problems, I mean, with obesity. They have problems with hypertension. They have problems with heart disease. But the diabetes is certainly one of the major things. And we've got to be doing something wrong because there's so much more diabetes than there ever was before. Not only a type 2 diabetes, but type 1 diabetes in children. Have any thoughts at all on that?
Oh, yes, on the diabetes, it's what is happening is I think that the old grandmother term called sugar diabetes is true. In other words, people who ate a lot of sugar got diabetes, and that's why they called it sugar diabetes. And as much as the people who made the food pyramid and others may not like this, the evidence is pretty clear that sugar is and other high glycemic foods, but particularly the candy and soft drinks that are substituted today for milk. Or eat a piece of candy instead of a piece of meat, or you drink a soft drink instead of a glass of milk, this is a problem. And the kids are, as their diet becomes more and more loaded with sugar, wind up doing the following. Their insulin levels are raised to a high level because of the high glucose that goes in there. Immediately that sugar goes into fat. They get hungry again, and they drink more soda water. We've seen people walking around with a bottle, and basically what they're doing, take a little sip now and then, they're titrating their glucose levels in their blood. But in the long run, what happens, you get insulin resistance because this up and down splashing of your insulin to high levels and low levels, eventually kind of neutralizes the sensitivity of the cells toward insulin, and you get insulin resistant. Then your body has to pump out more insulin. And soon it reaches the limit, and your pancreas gets tired, and it quits making insulin altogether. And then you got type 2 diabetes. In that area of damage is type 2 diabetes, and it gets worse, of course, when you have to take insulin. It's not so bad if you're at the point where your glucose levels are higher than they ought to be, and that's a sign. High glucose levels, chronically high glucose levels, are a sign that your pancreas cannot lower those levels, can't make enough insulin to lower those levels.
Well, we're going to have to let you go. This has been a fascinating hour. I want to thank both you and Alice for coming on with us, and perhaps we could get together and talk on some of our other programs. I think it's important, the book, The Modern Nutritional Diseases, and How to Prevent Them. God bless you. Thank you both so much.
It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you. We'll talk to you again.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that
ultimately
came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Arthur Stan. Let me simply mention, we carry some books on nutrition. I think one of the finest books we carry is Dr. Russell Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And, of course, he's got sections there on water fluoridation, on aspartame, on mercury, and, you know, the mercury in the vaccines, especially the influenza vaccine. They want everybody to get, especially if you have a six-month-old child or if you love your child, you're going to give them the toxic doses of thimerosal, which they've intentionally left in that vaccine. And, of course, it has a terrible, terrible effect on the brains of certain children. An awful lot of children are autistic. We've increased the incidence of autism 60 times thanks to our fine public health authorities who really believe that some of them have an agenda. Some of them simply go along to keep their jobs. I've been to the CDC, and I will tell you that I think there are some very, very dangerous people working back there in Atlanta, Georgia. So under any circumstances, you need to get the information to protect yourself. The book Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Lives has a section on vaccinations, but a great deal on, certainly on nutrition and what you should be eating, and parallels fairly closely what we're hearing from the Audubonis. The book Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Now we carry Dr. Blaylock's book, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. And if you have somebody who has cancer, they need to know how to, of course, to reinforce their nutrition and how to get through if they're going to have chemotherapy, how to get through it without having all of the complications that really the horrible nausea and other things. Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients is certainly required reading for anybody with cancer. And then his book, Excitotoxins, The Taste It Kills. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we really do appreciate those of you who've joined the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us on a regular basis so that 5 hours every day we can be on radio somewhere in America, and then the weekend program going to 36, 37 stations now being heard all across America. It's only half an hour, but people are hearing it, and of course our network with probably 10 stations pulling us down, the evening with as many as 15 stations pulling us down. We are having a growing influence across America, and with the miracle of shortwave and the internet, we can reach the entire world. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you would like, of course, to a free copy of our newsletter, call us at that same number, 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a copy. I think the November newsletter, I think it's excellent. It goes into the background of water fluoridation, and I'm very concerned that we're poisoning our children. And, of course, we wonder why our children can't compete scholastically with children throughout the world. And yet, of course, if you look and see what happens in the areas of China where they have high fluoride in the drinking water, there are no geniuses. The children lose about 10 points in their IQ. Is there a better way to destroy a great nation than to poison the children with fluoride and with NutraSweet? Which, of course, is aspartic acid, methanol, and phenylalanine, and then, of course, with mercury in the vaccines and so many other exposures that they have. And, of course, they minimize those, and then they tell us, oh, we just have to have mothers so concerned about eating fish. Oh, you shouldn't eat fish during your pregnancy if you're worried about your child. But in the nursery, we're going to give them a shot of thimerosal in the nursery the first day of their birth, and they did that up until that the parents just made such a fuss that, of course, they had to stop it. But they still tell you, and they haven't told you, of course, that they have left the thimerosal and the influenza vaccine. And if your child is 6 months of age, if you really love it, take it down and get a mercury shot to damage the brain. Who would be that crass and indifferent? Well, you need to get our four-tape set on mercury. You need to get our four-tape set on NutraSweet. You need to get our four-tape set on fluoride. You need to get the most frightening and shocking four-tape set we have. It's called The New Order of the Barbarians. The New Order of the Barbarians. It's four interviews done with Dr. Dunnigan. One of them I did. Three others were done by Randy Engel. But, of course, this really gives you tremendous insight into the mindset of a group of wicked people. It's based upon a talk that was given by Dr. Richard Day, who was the medical director of Planned Parenthood in 1969, who worked with a group he called the Order. And he tells you exactly what they intended. You can get the transcript along with that of the talks. It is a tape set that everybody who is concerned about their children, concerned about our society, really needs to hear. And then, of course, we have so many other tape sets out there. You can go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. We're coming up with new tape sets every day. If you want to understand the Gulf War Syndrome, you want to get our new tape set on Vaccine A. You'll want to get Gary Matsumoto's book, Vaccine A. We have it in stock now. It is one of the best cases of best examples of investigative journalism by a gentleman who set out to find out, was there really an experimental vaccine given? Would it be possible that the government isn't telling us the truth because they deny they gave an experimental vaccine, or that they gave any vaccines with squalene in it, and yet the FDA tested five lots of their vaccine and found it? And, of course, 95% of the sick veterans from the first Gulf War, 95% of them all have antibodies to squalene, whereas you do not find them in people who did not take those vaccines the government gave. Do you think they're telling you the truth? Would they lie to the American people? Well, Vaccine A, the four tapes set, the book, are vitally important. And then Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, we'll be back with you once again. Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.